Okay, we're beginning tape two here. And you were just saying, okay, so then you were in the camp for a period of time. And then what? The war was getting over?
Yeah, war was getting over. And I was in farm by the time when getting over. And so we now Germans are losing. And but what will happen to our country? So we did not know what will happen to our country. Where that stays, with West or East. Mm-hmm. And by that time, you know, people start to spread rumors like Russians, communists taking over Latvia. And we did not want to return, because we knew there would not be any chance for landing. It would be way to Siberia. You won't see even your own country. But some people said, oh, no, I like to get home. And later on, we found out they never made home.
Oh.
Sent right to Siberia. Russians picked up and sent to Siberia. So they were questioning us why we don't want to go. So we explained. We don't want, unless we know there is Western power, not Red power there. And we stayed in farm for a while, but later on they gathered all together. We did put in German military buildings, like I don't know how you call it. I don't know. Not barracks, but buildings, real buildings. So we were there. And there gathered a lot of Latvian people, came together, so big crowd, hundreds of people.
Of refugees.
Of refugees, mm-hmm. Yeah. And still was that propaganda going, try to get us home back. And we had one lady who spoke really good English. And she says, we are not going back unless we know what is there in our country, if we get to our country. Mm-hmm. So we stayed in that big camp, a lot of buildings, a whole bunch of buildings there was. And we had all kind, you know, educate people, we had professors, we had artists, we had architects, we had start to organize their own community. And there will be on the top, top floor with like attic, and our designers, you know, made it like a big hall for plays and concerts and dance and everything. And they used those boxes, wooden boxes where Germans keep that military stuff in. Mm-hmm. And they use that stuff to building like in church, you know, the benches and seats and stage. And on the front of that stage, one artist did put a Latvian lady like that one about for painting.
Uh-huh.
And at the other end of the top floor, they built it up church. Everything started to build from scratch. And the church was beautiful. We were getting together every Sunday for service. And in one building, they started to organize school. Mm. There was school. We did have all teachers and professors and everything. There was grammar school, high school, and kindergarten. So kindergarten was separately. I was running kindergarten. So I had nice time with those little kids. I had a whole bunch of Latvian kids, and we did have all kinds of activities, you know, and a nice program for Christmas holiday celebration. And everybody came and watched our little kids doing stuff.
And how long were you in this building?
It cannot tell. That was quite a while.
More than a year, it would
more,
say.
More, few years, few mm-hmm. years.
Mm-hmm. Was this, where was this physically located? Where in Germany?
That western part of Germany.
Was it near the farm that you had been on?
No. That was for, no, not too close, not too far, not too far. But
was it near the border of?
That was, let's say, about how far from Hamburg, not. That was real, very, very active life. And uh-huh. Some people studied, some went to colleges, you know. And I had two little boys, and a little boy, older son, did get very sick. He was very sick, and he was admitted in the hospital, the German hospitals, you know. And that was in the fall, and all windows were open always. They kept always open windows. I don't know why that was always open windows. And poor little guy did get pneumonia. Mm-hmm. Was very, very sick. And he actually, then one night, okay, I said, okay, he needs some light. So they put him in separate room, and I was there laying down, and there was nurse sitting there too. And he was, doctor prescribed him to sun heat, like lamp. And he was getting that heat, he felt a little better. And then that nurse took that heat off of us, and she used that heat. And so a little boy started to feel real bad, and I took him in my hands. He looked at me so sad. He was unconscious, but by the time he looked at me, he was conscious. And then he looked and said, "Bye, mother. My father is waiting right there." And he saw vision of father. Wow. He passed away in my hands. So when later on I complained about that nurse, she lost her license for 2 years. That was the worst of my stories. It was awful.
Yeah. So then did you remain in the same building that the Latvians had built up from scratch for a while after your son died?
Yes, we did stay still there, and I was running that kindergarten. And yeah.
And you were already a teacher. You had been a teacher in Latvia before?
Yeah, So I like to work with children.
Yeah.
Still I like to do things with kids now.
Uh-huh.
Really, I enjoy doing with them.
Do you do things with
I worked here when I came over here. I worked before I retired. I worked once in Latin school, grammar school, and then I had job with overtime and keeping house. That's not so easy. Then I quit for a while, but when I retired, I worked again for five years. I worked again. And we have Latvian school Saturdays, Latvian course. Mm-hmm. Kids learn history and language. But since my sons did get American girls, they are not so much involved.
Yeah.
And
what is it about the Latvian culture that you personally value so much and would like to see, carried on?
You know, we have folks songs and like poem, you know, right? So many verses. We have like four verse little folks songs. They sang them and they used to plays, and they are for generation survived through mouth to mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly somebody decided to write them down, make sure they don't get lost. And I hope they don't get lost, because there is so much wisdom and folk songs and fairy tales and everything. There is so much life wisdom in all that, that what really kept that nation through hundreds of years. Before even Latvia was first found by Germans too. And it was so important. And something about that, it says like, you have to live, you have to be happy, and easy go over all difficulties. That what I really learned from all Latvian old traditions through generations.
Say that again. You have to be happy and what did you just say?
Get over all difficulties. Get over the difficulties.
Mm-hmm. Is that like something that's like in fairy tales, in Latvian folk
Latvian
tales?
In all those folk songs.
Uh-huh.
Like, say, Liku bed uz akmens pārgāju dziedādama. Put my worries on the rock and go over the song. That's one four line verse.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes really sense. Get over, be optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
And also between relationships, you know, how to keep healthy relationships with people, and we learned very much of that. We have hard time, hard history.
Mm-hmm. So you actually taught these folk songs and folk tales to young children,
to help carry
the song.
And like now, okay, my grandchildren dance little boys. I always try to, okay, go to bed. You have to be relaxed. You have to rely on God. And one little song, just four lines, you know, I taught to them. Now I lay me down to sleep. Please, dear God, you close my eyes. Your loving eye watch over me all night long when I sleep.
Mm-hmm.
A little Mark is now 4 years old, and the name the Zems, and he wants me to sing that song. And I tell him, that God is watching over you, and you don't have to be afraid. He said, well, I'm afraid there must be ghosts. I said, no, there is no ghost.
So, what happened? Did a lot of the people who were staying where you were in Germany, in Western Germany, did they then, some went back to Latvia, some came to the United States, and
most of us, we won't all get not to go back because we knew Russians took over.
Uh-huh.
So first of all, we had a whole bunch of people who served the Latvian Legion. England took those men because they were young and strong and for labor. But they managed to get up in the life. Everybody managed to get somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And some went to Australia, and some went to the United States. And some are still left in Germany because they could not pass physical exams. Like my sister's husband, he had TB. And he had to be in lungs, and he had to be in bones, and he was so sick he could not make. My sister visited, did not come. So she's still there in Hamburg.
Oh.
Yeah. And a lot of people could not pass physical exam.
I see. So there must be quite a Latvian community around Hamburg, is there?
Not so many left.
Uh-huh.
Most of still somewhere else, some other countries. And of course, and then we had to pass a political exam too. Make sure we are not communists, we are not fascists.
So where did you have that exam?
In Germany, before getting chance to go to the United States.
So it was from the United States Embassy that you had to?
I don't know who was that woman who questioned me. No, some kind. There must be from embassy, but I don't know really.
And but how extensive was the questioning? What?
Yeah, she says, yeah, first of all, if I believe Hitler, I said, I did not believe. Two devils are fighting. I said, one devil, another, one red, one black. And how I feel against Jewish people. I said, they are people like the all of us. And how I feel if I have to work for Jewish people. I said, as long as they treat me properly, fairly, I said, I don't mind. I didn't have against anybody. So that was a question what I had to answer. And they came to Ireland, that was a whole thing all over again.
Ellis Island.
Yeah, Ellis Island. They treated us really like we were some kind of criminals, whatever. Yeah. But probably they were some criminals too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, tell me now, why did you leave Germany when you did? What were the circumstances under which you left then?
No, first of all, what was most thing was most frightening is because Russians were so close to Hamburg, and so we did not trust them. If they suddenly will be somewhere else, mm-hmm. will take over all Germany, and then we are way to Siberia. That is mm-hmm. that was clear. Our way mm-hmm. was clear, mm-hmm. and that was the main reason. And besides, we want to do something, to start life somewhere. How long you can live in the camps. Mm-hmm. And for safe sake, that's all.
Why did you decide on the United States?
Australia I did not like because it was so far. That was so far. I said, in the case we have chance to go home, back, I said, at least this will be closer. Mm-hmm. And in England, first I want just mail, and I did have kids, you know, kind of complicated. And so I go to America. And as a kid, I thought, my gosh, how that New York looks like. I have fantasy, skyscrapers, how they look like. And I did not like them at all. Wow. I did not like them at all. I said, oh my gosh, look up at wall, where I will look up. are you living in a skyscraper?
I think it has 20-some floors. I don't know if that's still a skyscraper.
Still high. My son Willis lived in Boston on 5th floor once. He wanted to try. And I was working there in City Hall that was close by, Charles River and City Hall. In stormy nights, I stayed over there. I said, oh boy, that city doesn't sleep at night.
No.
Noisy. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, oh boy. So he did try 1 year, and later on he gave up. Moved out to the suburbs. Yeah. Yeah, noisy city.
So when you were a little girl in Latvia, you were thinking about skyscrapers?
Yeah, I would like to see New York. Evidently, that's what came New York in my mind. That's what I get to see New York. Yeah.
So then you decided that you would go yeah. here. Now, was your mother with you?
No, my mother did not come. No.
Your mother didn't?
She did not.
So were you traveling just with your one son then when you actually took the ship?
And my husband. I was maybe second.
You married a second. So you married while you were in Germany?
Is yes, it? Yes. Uh-huh. In Germany. I married. And that was not friendly. Hi to newcomers.
Yeah,
right. Seattle's Island.
Oh, so you took the General Muir, right?
Yeah.
The ship. Yeah. And what was that voyage like when you were coming to this country?
Yeah, that was kind of, first of all, was very bad experience when we get on the ship. First of all, they separated me from my boy. And
why did they do that?
Because he had different last name.
Oh.
Yeah. They did put him somewhere else. And so he's on the ship, I am here still. I went, I did not know, I was completely in panicky. I went over to that lady who did, whoever was there. I said, there is my son. I said, why you didn't take that away? Oh, check out. No, it doesn't say you are his mother. So he was completely separate. He was in panic. I was in panic. I said, my gosh. And all right, then I was boarded up, and then I said, I start to look for him, but man fact that my husband was looking for the boy too, and he did get him to his cabin. But kid was so panicky, he was so frightened. He lost his father, now he's losing his mother. And by the end, somehow I pulled in my room, and there was like one, two, three floor bed.
Oh, beds. The bunk beds.
Bunk beds, yeah. And okay, did they have two blankets? I did wrap in one blanket, they did put next to me. I said, you stay here. Mm-hmm. And then lady said, who is that boy? I said, yes. How old he is? 7. He is much too old. He cannot come with us, sleep with us. We ladies, we have to change. I said, never mind, he is in blanket. All right. So that how he says, oh my God. Oh my God, so I did all to that kid, his hand would move no one step off of me.
Right.
I was so frightened, really. And then I landed up in the harbor. And
what was it like when the ship came into the New York harbor?
Oh, that lights was so fascinating. And a lot of people were so happy, you know. The ladies did get dressed up, high-heeled shoes and fancy dresses, you know, to go to New York, you know, the husbands next to me. I did not did not do that. I was so frightened, really. I said, now a strange country, no language, no profession. I lost everything. What I'll do there, what I'll do there? Maybe we'll scrub the rest of my life floors for somebody else. And that city was so beautiful, really. Because during war, we were not allowed to keep lights in the house, even. It was dark, and suddenly there was so much light. So we did bait overnight in the mornings, and we get off the board. And of course, everything was checked out, names and everything. And those was next to me. Won't go no place. And okay, and then they separated all our belongings by cities where you go. And there was for Boston, says Boston, you know.
Is that where you were going?
Yeah, that's where I was supposed to go. There was a pile of stuff we looked up, did not see our pile, but what happened to our stuff? I said, is it not so much, but then we get lost. By the end, we found out separately pile. And there was another group separately piled too, without sign, city sign. So they were questioning too, what will happen now?
So what was your impression when you first got into Ellis Island, when you went into the building? What was your impression?
Oh, that was horrible. First of all, that lady was so rude to us, one woman, and she was so rude to us.
Was she an inspector?
She was just giving orders, what to do. Okay, then she went, why this boy is here? Ask about. Why Willis is there? I said, I am his mother. Does not say you are his mother. Oh, she was so horrible. I said, okay, she was questioning why that kid is here on Ellis Island. All right, then okay, but he has to go to sleep with men somewhere else. You can I said, I will not leave that kid until he is same room with me and my husband. How he can sleep? There is double bed. I said, he can sleep in the middle. No, he is much too big to sleep in the middle of bed. She gave blanket and he slept on the floor. Oh, God. I said, oh boy, it's the morning. Knock the door up. All right, okay, up. That was jail. Honestly, God, that was jail.
So you had to stay over because of the problem with your son having a different last name?
No. We did not know. Nobody said anything.
Oh, you didn't know why you had
Yeah,
to.
our guide, who supposed to guide us to Boston, you know, he did not know either. He said, just we are kept aside and we'll get good to the island. All right, I think a few days we stayed there, I don't remember, around 3 or 4 days. Monday, they called him. He has to go to city. I asked why he has to go. No answer, no explanation why he has to go. And before that we went, all those days were so terrible. I said, Arnold, have you something in your past, something can cause you trouble? He asked me same question. And all right, so he went to city. Did not know what will happen now, what's going on. And he questioned what will happen, where they send us, back to Germany or to Russia, give to Russians. Mm.
Wow. So did you go to the city too?
No, I did not.
Or you were still at Ellis Island?
I was still on Ireland. Boy was me and... We waited and waited. Late afternoon, he comes and can see his face lit up. Mm. Okay, so he said everything is all right. But he has a big chest, you know. Evidently, X-ray before departure was not very clear, and that's why he was checked, because nobody gets in with TB or something. So everything worked right, and so that woman, the journey was very nice. She said, sorry, the way I treated you. So our guide was right there. And
when you say your guide, how did you get a guide?
I think that was whole affidavit, whose was actual church and gave us. We did get affidavit from church.
From the Latvian church?
No, that was American church.
American church.
Uh-huh. American church. They used to give license or permission, you know, to get such a people to United States, you know. Church help.
So they had like a social service for people.
Yeah, social service. That young man, he was student, now he's lawyer and. His sons are back in Latvia. His sons grow.
This person who was your guide?
Yeah, yeah.
You kept in touch with him?
He's here in Boston. I know that.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And whenever I need lawyer, I go.
And was he helpful to you when you first got
here? He helped. He introduced the people and showed us around, and we got in touch with other people, you know.
So when your husband came back, he said, it's going to be all right. And they gave him another X-ray,
he
came out okay?
Yeah, then came out okay.
So how long were you actually at Ellis Island?
Few days anyway. I don't think it was a week, but 5 days, maybe four or 5 days. That was a nightmare.
Especially not knowing what.
Not knowing.
Why.
Yeah, but yeah. At least would tell what's wrong and what we can expect. Not. Nothing strange. That was. And then we had to get up certain times and certain time breakfast. She rings the bell. Okay, breakfast. No TV. Didn't know have TV at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And outside for walk we went and. And there was high fence around there. And other section was, I think there were criminals, because those women's widths, they were terrible.
So what did you see of other people like that? That were they were in another kind of a fenced off area?
Yeah. No, like around the building were fences, you know, and we were in one section, there was another section. I remember those women, oh boy.
What were they like?
Oh, I think they were prostitutes.
Oh, uh-huh.
Because one made pass at my husband, gosh.
So they were being deported, do you think?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm. That's how I, and other, other one, somebody want to exchange money for some kind of, I don't know. So they came out, we just walked there, but still they tried to get a conversation, get involved.
Mm. So when you left, you took a train then to Boston?
Yes, we took train. I looked around, I said, my goodness sakes, America, what the hell was those? So that laundry hanging up at the at the roof.
You passed it on the train?
No, on the train, you know. I was wondering how that comes, how they get that laundry so high hanging, almost at roof height. We did not have that. But they have that, you know. Later on, I found out how people from second floor could hang up their laundry outside. That was neat.
Uh-huh. Any other first impressions, things that you remember that you saw?
Then I went, there was one incident too. What station that was? I don't remember what station. When I get off the train, one lady came over to me and she says, are you Jewish? I said, no, I'm not Jewish. You must be Jewish. I said, no, I am not. Don't hide, you are Jewish, you can be free now, you don't have to be afraid. I said, lady, I am not Jewish. How that comes to your little boy is wearing that little cap on the head. You know, in Europe, a lot of kids wore them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, because in Europe, so kids wear them. You must be Jewish. She insisted. I said, no, I'm Jewish. She said, don't worry, we can help you, she said.
Well, maybe she knew you had come with the refugees from her camp and she just assumed that
you were Jewish.
Oh, that's funny.
That was really.
So then where did you go after you got off the train?
All right, we had some people gave us name to the church and call us to the United States. And some people I knew, friends. So we stayed with friends for a while. And then okay, we start look for jobs. And my husband did find he... After all, he's mechanic engineer. He found some kind of job, his machinery do. And I start to go to sewing factory to do some sewing.
And how was the language?
No language. No.
How did that work out for you?
That language was the hardest part of all. Did not really have chance to study language in Europe. I had to work somehow and small kids, two little boys. And now I have a hard time. Oh boy, we have quite a few funny stories about the language, how Latvians spoke English first. But then I started to take some courses, but later on I moved from one town to other town and they did not have so close at courses, so I had to drop and I worked overtime to meet ends. And marriage with Arnold did not survive.
Do you think it was because of all the upheaval of coming to a new place and all of what you went through? Do you think that
affected a little bit too, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I don't know, he started drink too much and that was main reason. And I want to do certain things, I wanted to work and then I want to get some, I like to take some acting lessons, you know, and go to choir to sing. No, he said, no, no, no. Did not let me do anything I like to do really. And I liked the acting and I was very good and there were courses in Latvia, we had good actors and they want me to take those courses. I give everything up. I did not like that either. Then I had good voice and I want to continue to to do some singing, you know, practicing, teaching, taking course. Said how I ended up being my myself anyway.
So you kept working in the sewing factory for a while?
I worked for quite a while. Then, in between, still was married, you know. Then I did get pregnant. I did get Don, my little boy, another little boy. And so still did not want me work. He did not, And... you know, keep very good jobs himself. He always get in fight with bosses.
So when you got divorced, then did you stay working in the sewing factory?
No, I did not work. After baby was born, I never worked in sewing factory anymore. Then I start to take some computer course at Northeastern, and I was kind of fascinated. Well, how that can machine do same thing people can do? And so I started to take courses, and I liked them. I took some courses, and
by then you knew the language.
No,
you
could
get along.
Get along, yeah. And one girl wanted me to join sorority, so I joined, and it was nice. I did get a nice group of ladies around, and one of them worked for a city of Boston. She was a civil engineer there, and she helped me get jobs there.
Was this a Latvian society or
sorority?
Latvian,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Latvian. I see, yeah.
And so she helped me get the job. I worked in Boston City Hall. Mayor White was mayor there, and said how I start working data processing division.
Wonderful. Let me just ask a question from before. When you first came to this country, you were working in the sewing factory, and you really didn't know English. How were you treated, and what was it like to be in a factory like that, you know, without the language?
Without the language, so I know one guy in the elevator said to me, "You are crow." I said, "Don't." At first, I did not say anything. Then he always called me. I said, "You know, how you would like if somebody call you, you are a Jew, whatever." So he stopped. "You're Kraut." I said, "I am not Kraut." Kraut, I think that was...
German.
German.
Yeah.
German, is that what they meant?
I think that's what he meant.
Oh. I said, "I am what I am, and you are what you are. I'm not picking up at you." Then I told to his boss, and he was so mad at me. I said, "Oh, just too bad." I cannot call people like that.
Yeah. It may be short for sauerkraut.
Yeah.
I think. It could be. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
So, but were you treated well? I mean, you were shown
yes,
what to do.
Yes, they showed me what to do. And that was kind of routine. That was so boring. By the end, I could not stand anymore. And I said, "I can do something else." I said, I don't want to do one seam all time. That makes me nuts. So they offered me to do maybe something in the office, and I was not ready for that yet. And they treated me very nice, yeah.
Were there other people who had immigrated also working in the factory? Do you know?
Most of them started working in the factory. Now, in fact, one interesting story, one dentist, she was here. She was hired as a maid. And she said, all right, she was a doctor, and she was maid now. One day she sat at the table, dinner table, she was serving all the food, everything around. And somebody, one of guests said, "Oh, everybody is at this table, at the dinner, have doctor's degree." And so my dentist spoke up, "Even including your maid."
That's a great story.
including your maid. So she had to go to take the degree back again for 5 years. She had to study here over. And then she had her private office, private practice, and she did very good. She She did very good. She lives in Boston.
Mm.
Yeah. That was a good story.
Yeah. So you worked in City Hall. Did you retire from City Hall?
Yes, I did. I retired. Retired about 10 years there.
Uh-huh.
I worked before too. I worked sewing factory. What else I did? Babysitting. I did everything.
And it seems as though you've stayed in contact, and the Latvian community is still a big part of your life.
Yeah, still now. Still we have the church and all let's say regular service once a week, and we go to church, and there are always something else going on. After 10, we have coffee all together, and they have concerts, and they play. Visitors sometimes come from different places, celebrate our country's birthday, Independence Day.
Uh-huh.
That is a big, big celebration. And here in Piesole, biggest celebration is John's Day, Jāņi.
Oh.
And that is June 24th. Then people come from all over the country. You hear on that field all full of tents, young generation come, and that is most of Europe, north parts of Europe celebrates John's Day. John's Day is changed from spring to summer, that is season. And by the time everything is blooming, and people come from one house to house, and special people with John's name, Janis. People, like last year, we did get about 200 something people, and they go from one John's house to other John's house, to other John's house. And last year they celebrated two groups, one went to the right, one to the left. And that guy who was here, he has John's name, Janis.
Right.
So we stopped at his house too.
Uh-huh.
And we sang songs, special songs for that night. Special songs for that night. And we sang songs, and we put a real wreath from oak made on his head, and flowers, ladies have flowers, you know. And that goes all night long. And then we stop there, and all Johns have homemade beer that is not homemade now.
Oh.
And homemade cheese, piragi. And we have to pass around.
Oh. Now, did you celebrate John's Day in Latvia too?
In Latvia
when
too.
When you were growing up?
Yeah, that is from Latvia, that old tradition came over. Is that what once a year we have here, that's John's Day celebration.
Wow.
And that is a big occasion. It's a beautiful, beautiful. It's so unique. And then little guy here, little grandson has John's name. And we stopped at his house too. Little John was so cute.
We should probably mention on the tape that we're here in New Hampshire in a Latvian community, church community.
Yeah.
And so the people who live here and have cabins here are connected with the Latvian community.
Yeah, maybe I should tell now. I did not mention that.
Yeah.
And that big John's Day celebrations we call Jāņi, and special songs, Ligo songs. And we spend that day in Piesole, in Latvian church camp. And that tradition goes for years since that village established, since 1953. And unique is that night is when people come from so many different places and they sing for special for that night songs, and then we have bonfire and dancing and singing all night long. And all Johns, Jāņi, have to entertain those visitors. Whoever stops at their house with songs, you have to sing songs. And then get some beer, homemade cheese, and piragi. And unique with Piesole that we have self-built church. And that whole idea came from young generation, from youth. And they start to think about building up church and build up themselves church and give to the church as property. And that is youth build a church in Piesole. And that is nice little church right in the woods, and a lot of happenings happen in the church. There are christenings, there are weddings, and there are regular services. And children come to the camp to Piesolo in a big building. We have barn for dance and cabins to sleep overnight for a very reasonable price. And since I am retired, I am very happy to have one of those 45 cabins we have here for cottages, and I stay half a year here and go home back to Boston when it gets really, really cold. But once, few times in the winter, I come out and the snow is beautiful too. What else I can say about it? And besides church, we have also people made it a pond. That was little stream was running there, and was swamp around, and people decided to make lake out of that swamp. And so that started gradually with 1 acre, and then now about 3 acres, maybe even more. And people come and help, and we have our own made it a lake. And during camp hours, the time when kids have camp 1 week or 2 weeks in summer, the water has always checked out, make sure that it's nice and clean, and that is clean because some streams from underground. Some people even use the kind of water for drinking.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that all that you've been through and all that you've experienced, how do you think it's left its mark on you as far as who you are and what either your philosophy is or your values, or how has it, if all of what you've experienced, changed you maybe, or influenced you or marked you? Or
that whatever I taught to my sons, hard work and honesty, that will give you success and strength to live in the life. Even sometimes maybe you have to suffer for being like that, but I said always you will succeed. And thanks God, we managed to survive and succeed, and somehow we have certain blessings. And my children always appreciate that what I taught them. And sometimes they say to me, "Ma, without you, we don't think we could make." Mm-hmm. That really gets appreciated, really.
Yeah. Well, what would you say what has given you a lot of satisfaction in your life? What are maybe a good time in your life, or what has brought you a lot of satisfaction, would you say?
Most of all, I want my children get education, because with education, even if you get thrown out of your real surroundings, still you manage to survive and see possibilities in the life. Is that what we did see possibilities, if children get education? That, well, I work with them since they were kids, make sure you get education. We had not so easy time to get through that, but kids were bright, you know, and they start to work very young, and so they made very good, and that's what really makes me happy, because really they are honest people, and they succeed in this old philosophy probably helps them. Just work hard and be honest, and you'll be good to other people who are under your workers' leg or whatever.
Mm-hmm. How about you thinking of yourself? You think of yourself as Latvian, obviously. How about American? Do you feel like you have a side of you, or how do you feel about, well, being here for what, 40 some years now?
No, I feel like, this is a real country where we have really freedom. Each ethnic group can survive and can keep the different culture and different ways and give something to this country. That was so beautiful, because you can keep your individual opinion, individual bringing up, and still belong to this country. Then, in fact, my youngest son served Marines. And he says, "Mother, I love this country. I know my original country, but still I love this country and I am American. But I also can be Latvian." And so you can keep that individual feelings and individual difference, you know. And I think that's wonderful. I like to go from different ethnic group. Occasions sometimes see how celebrate one. Then we have German clubs, club in Boston. We have all kinds, you know, different things, and I like that. It really makes this country rich, mm-hmm. rich in culture.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said earlier that you had gone back to Latvia, and when did you do that?
That was four years ago, and was a real bad, very bad situation there. I hope they have somehow they managed. I think maybe young generation will do better than old generation, because some who lived under a communism regime still had good jobs, you know, but now they have to start all over, like a lot of us. Mm-hmm. But young generation is doing just great. They are doing just great, do the best they can and find out their talents, and they use those talents in their lives.
Mm-hmm. What would you say, we're nearing the end of the tape now, but what would you say about starting over? I mean, that's something that a lot of people don't ever have to do to the extreme that you did.
I think it's very important for people experience very simple life. Like my grandchildren, three grandchildren, go to Montessori school. And they teach at school a very simple life. They take those kids to farm and they stay in farm for a few days or maybe even longer. And they do everything whatever has to be done in farm. Mm-hmm. And I think that is very important to live like our ancestors used to live, when we did not have computers, when we did not have flying machines in the air and all that stuff. Who knows what can happen, and maybe we have to start all over again. Mm-hmm. You never know what can happen, because world is not peaceful. That's why good to have basic. Get to be basic.
And you mentioned that's what you feel you have here in this New Hampshire cottage. And tell me why you like being here so much, where it is so simple and basic.
I like to be here in Pearsall, New Hampshire, because I have here my own little home, and I have all surrounded by Mother's Nature's beauty. When you look out, all trees now changing colors, and you can see blue skies there, and go to the water at the lake, and go outside and see even snake. Everybody thinks snakes are terrible. No, they are not so terrible. Sometimes one thing I would not like to meet bears. Somebody tries to frighten me because bears are here, but I did not see, and I don't think anybody else did see them. So I feel like part of nature. There is everything. I feel like I am part of that Mother Nature. And this earth is beautiful, and I experience it. Fresh air coming from mountains, and all green, and all colors change in the fall and the winter. And I feel like I am here. It's Mother Nature. And I respect all this earth's beauty, and I like everybody else learns to realize how beautiful is our Mother Earth. And I hope we don't ruin that.
Well, I want to thank you for a very beautiful interview.
I don't know.
Wonderful speaking with you. I've been speaking with Ida Bersens, and we're here in New Hampshire. And this is the end of take 2. And this is Janet Levine for the National Park Service. And I'm signing off.